Coming up on Patriots This Week, Bullish in Buffalo.
It's one of those games where you just got to grind it out, you know, against a tough football team on the road in the division.
And grind they did, with nearly 200 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. But in the beginning, frustration boiled over against the Bills.
They're two competitive people, and it's just the way it goes. It's just football. Yeah, we've been around each other a lot, so I love Josh.
And again, near the end.
Gronkowski landed on top of White.
I mean, there was a lot of frustration, and I was just really frustrated at that moment. It just happened naturally through emotions and frustration.
Now, Gronk won't be able to join all his rowdy friends on a Monday night in Miami.
You all have to step up and kind of move on and just get ready to go.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
With a winning streak now at 8, the Patriots this weekend can make it 9 in a row. They've won 8 straight games this season, and they're searching for their 9th consecutive AFC East title. Will it be a hat and T-shirt Monday for the Pats in South Florida? Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with my radio partner from 98.5, former Pats quarterback Scott Zolak, with ex-Patriots linebacker and special teams ace Matt Chatham, 3-time Super Bowl champion. And the Patriots, again, on the verge of being crowned division champ as the defending Super Bowl champ, coming off another road win, 14 straight now, over the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people talk about the AFC East as being the quote-unquote tomato can division, and you play who you're supposed to play, but their level of consistency throughout the years, it started when this guy was with the team, back when he had hair.
Did I?
Kidding. No, you're in a bald head. Yeah, right. But I mean, we've been talking about this for 17 years. I think it's pretty impressive. Obviously, you want the bye. You want a divisional round game at home. You want to play the AFC title game here. But to get there, you need to win the division.
They had the kind of roster built to win a lot of different ways. It's not just Tom's going to throw for 350. This is a group that's turned to the running game really hard for 2 weeks in a row and hasn't made Tom throw the ball 40 or 50 times. They can beat you that way. And when they play him a second time, they may beat them in an entirely different way then.
Yeah, I think off the Buffalo point, too, Brady with 14 wins up there. You know, Bob, we're doing a game. You see the statistics on the Buffalo side. The amount of wins they've had, New England coming in, the amount of quarterbacks you faced up in Buffalo since Brady's taken over with Belichick. Appreciate what he got now, folks. Appreciate it now because these t-shirt games, they don't last forever.
Yeah, it's amazing. The most stunning stat to me is that there are only two quarterbacks who've won more games in Buffalo than Tom Brady, they being Jim Kelly.
Yeah. Jim Kelly.
And Joe Ferguson. Although Tom Brady wasn't at his best per se early in that game, the Patriots had to struggle settling for field goals in the first half, but they came out and changed things offensively in the second half, expanding that 9-3 lead.
Yeah, and I think he talked about it the most here, the running game. And not that what they're doing now is impressive in a running game, it's the week that they're doing, week 12, week 13. Yeah. This isn't week 1 and 2 where you come out, okay, people adjust to you. They built this over the course of the season, and more importantly, I think Deion Lewis, you see a stiff arm and the way he's running, he's really, he's taken over. He's taken over the running back position, the premier feature back in this offense.
I think it's a good week also to highlight some of the guys who helped create some of those holes. Shaq Mason is playing out of his mind. I think he should be a Pro Bowler. I think right now as I look at it, I don't know the rest of the world who's playing right guard. I have a hard time watching film on him and thinking someone's doing it better than that. The other thing here that's really important is the quality of play at the tackle position, and it's been a rotating door. Who's had to be there, but it's either Cam Fleming or it's LaAdrian Waddle. It's Nate at the other side. A lot of people have had to do the job. Marcus, obviously, see when he's healthy. All of them have done it at a really high level.
I'm glad you mentioned Shaq Mason. This is a guy who played in a triple option offense, rarely had the pass set at Georgia Tech, came into the league, was a starter as a rookie. He's gotten a lot better in every way.
He's got a great base. When you come forward as a linebacker and hit those kind of guys, they don't go anywhere, right? He's got great leverage. He sits underneath things. But it's funny when you come watching him come out of the huddle because you got Nate Solder and you got Cannon, and then it just kind of dips in the middle of their deep.
It goes like a big V. Those guys on the edge, and little Andrews in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of like this show. Yeah. If I were to stand in the middle.
A little more like a Verizon bar there of reception. But anyway, it's really those kind of guys, when you're coming off as a linebacker and hitting them, they're underneath your chin every time. You have to get low to get under the end. It's really tough to have leverage on them.
One of the most amazing things to me about this express that keeps rolling is how a guy can come over in midseason, maybe an unknown player, somebody like an Eric Lee off the Buffalo Bills practice squad, Patriots plug him in, and he performs with an impact. A sack in his first game in the NFL, regular season game 2 weeks ago. Sack, interception, in on another sack against the Bills. And that interception was huge.
Yeah, I want to change his name from Eric Lee to Little Willie because the shoulder pads, he's big, like the V we're talking about. He's got 55, and they're – don't get me – he's not Willie McGinnis. Don't get offended, Willie. But the impact play. And you talked about Buffalo being a weird environment. Great push from Branch on that play and then being on the spot right there. That was the impact play that maybe changed the complexion of that game. They get up 7-0 right there. You don't know how the rest of that game goes.
Lee didn't play great on that first drive until the interception, right? So there was some edge issues that bounced out, and those are the outside. It usually falls off on guys like me.
Course of the game.
But this, here's the good part about that. You know, he's new, he's fresh. They're doing a little different run scheme where they're pulling guys, and he's getting caught. He's getting cracked from wide receivers. A lot of that's in-game adjustment. So he makes the great play, the interception, he drops off, and Tyrod doesn't see him. But they come back to the sideline, and they have to make those adjustments. They show you the pictures. They say, widen it a little bit. Be aware they're trying to block you this way. And a young player with not a lot of experience made the adjustment, and the edge became strong throughout the game.
It's coaching. What we're seeing is this defense. I said this at the end of the game. You're watching that. There's a three up there, a three spot on the board, and it's the Jordan Richards, you know, Adam Butler, you know, talking about Lee, Eric Rose mixed in. Yeah. So you have there was five to six guys that did not start the season on this football team defensively that are in there helping you win football games.
And this defense, whatever the cast, has allowed the fewest points in the NFL since week five. We can't get out of this first segment and leave Buffalo without mentioning the late game incident and the act of Rob Gronkowski, which drew a one-game suspension. Scott, I know we called it in the moment. You had a chance to reflect on it.
Yeah.
What are your impressions, Daisy?
It was a dirty play, obviously. The player was down. As you know, when I call a game, I get emotional. And my job as the color analyst is to tell you how it's going and paint a picture. And I've been doing this for 5 years with you. I'm more than frustrated the way the league officiates the tight end. There's no excuse for what he did. That's not why he should have done it. And I'm not saying I understand why he did it, but Rob's not a bad guy. No. And he's not a chirpy guy. He doesn't play with that edge. And I just think it hit breakpoint with him. It's inexcusable. I was wrong when I said it on the broadcast after I saw the player was down. It was a stupid comment by me. And he admitted right after the game he owned it. It was a stupid play by him.
Yeah, so. And I think that's probably the biggest issue here. You talk about Rob immediately after he owned it. He knew it was wrong. Imagine if it hurts his neck and he's out for the year or something like that. At the spot,
breaks his collarbone. He could have broke his collarbone.
Yeah, you'd feel terrible. He does feel terrible. So I think part of this was just misappropriated anger. He sent it to the wrong person. He should be mad with the officials. He's officiated differently than anyone in this league. The anger, the fury he had is absolutely justified, but he shouldn't have acted out. That's a different topic, basically.
I hear this a lot, too. If he doesn't commit that and that play's picked off, you go and you complain to the league, and you could have used that game as a indicator to the league. This has been going on for 6 years with this guy. Every game, this is going back to Carolina when he was mugged by Kuechly. Yeah. I'm not making excuses here, but I feel bad for him because of his size. He's officiated differently because of his size. Rules are rules, and it should apply evenly across.
And they don't. And I think one of the most raw interviews we've seen from Rob Gronkowski since he's been a pro was that post game where he says, "What do you want me to do?" Like, you could tell he's just beside himself.
The OPI was ridiculous.
He literally, on this play that happened, he had three offenses happen to him: an illegal contact, a grab and a hold, a let go, another grab and a hold, and then a push off and interception. You're just sitting there as a player. You put so much time and energy. You're trying to do it right. And the officials are saying, the rules are different for you, buddy. That's going to make you mad. You can't do that. I think you would have made more sense if you'd have turned to the official and berated him. I mean, that might draw you a flag as well, but it would have made logical sense in the moment.
And as regrettable and uncalled for as that act was, which really took attention away from a terrific day in his hometown, we saw even worse Monday night between the Steelers and the Bengals. We'll come back with Don Banks and talk about that right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Eric Lee. The 6'3", 260-pound defensive end was signed off Buffalo's practice squad 5 days before the Miami game, and he quickly notched his first sack in the win over the Dolphins. But the undrafted free agent out of the University of South Florida had an even better performance against his former team. His red zone interception kept the Bills off the board in the first quarter, and the 23-year-old also haunted Tyrod Taylor with 1.5 sacks and 3 quarterback hits. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Back in our Bob's Discount Furniture studios, we continue on Patriots This Week with our bank shots, welcoming in NFL insider Don Banks. In the wake of really an ugly weekend and Monday night for the NFL in many regards, Don, there was the one-game suspension for Gronk for his actions in Buffalo, and then two players got a one-game suspension after that fiasco, if you will, or melee between the Bengals and the Steelers on Monday night. JoJo Smith-Schuster, George Iloka, did the NFL get it right with their punishment?
For the most part, yes. Look, that is not what the league was hoping for. That's not the look that the league needs to put forward. If that was an advertisement for where football is headed, football is in trouble. I thought, actually, Schuster could have gotten a second game for the taunting call, because that made the hit that much worse, that he leveled Burfict but then stood over him and taunted him. So I wouldn't have had a problem with a second game for Schuster. There are some people, though, that feel that Gronk's hit was the worst of them, because it was after the play. It was an unsuspecting player on the ground. I think in some ways, in the moment, players seem to live with that better than the consequence of after the play, like Gronk did. That looks dirty.
There have been more ejections this year than in the past, I think 13 to date. But do NFL game officials need to exercise that option more? Do we need to see the targeting rule that exists in college football?
I wouldn't mind that. I think Mike Pereira of Fox came out and said maybe it's time for targeting to jump from the college ranks to the NFL ranks. But bottom line, Bob, you know, the players have to care about this. The league can legislate all they want. And if the players don't buy in and say, you know what, player safety is foremost in our minds, it's an uphill battle to really change the mentality of how the game is played.
Don, 7 days ago we sat here talking about Eli Manning being out at quarterback for the Giants. Now we're talking about Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese out, and Eli's going back in.
Great big never mind, you know? I mean, to me it underlined really the foolishness of the original decision. I think they realized that the backlash was going to be so strong, right, with, I believe, three home games still remaining on the schedule. They did not want a repeat of 1978 with John McVay banners being flown over the stadium.
There's been the first dismissal of a head coach this season. There will be more. Who should be most nervous right now?
If I'm Vance Joseph in Denver, I am already looking at my next landing spot, because I think John Elway wasn't playing coy. He came out the other day and said, we understand how we've let down Bronco fans, and we're going to basically take care of it. I think he was signaling that Vance Joseph and his staff are going to be one and done.
All right, that's a wrap for us going into week 14. Don, as always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, Matt and Scott, rejoin me right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zo Show. We're going to take a quick look at the Miami Dolphins offense. Think about Jay Cutler. Maybe it's Matt Moore. No, we're going to look at their running back, number 32, Kenyon Drake. Freeze it right here. And I say that because this is a subset. Teams in the National Football League, they want to go small. Need one, two, three, four. Four receivers, get in your sub defense, means you're light up front. Now you can run the football. That's why the Patriots are so good at it. Deion Lewis, remember last week? Stiff arm against the Buffalo Bills. This guy's ability, Drake, tough kid from Alabama, second-year guy, number 32. He's 6'1", 211. Watch this front. Carolina, really good run defense. Guys like Luke Kuechly missing tackles in space. Watch the cutback ability right here, making guys miss in the open field. And if you've got some guys out like the Patriots do up front, this is a guy that you got to really concentrate on. Freeze it right here. Another sub-run, right? Everybody's out in space. Never struggling interior of their defense. Watch them here. Break this tackle. Get out. And this is the stuff that Coach Belichick worries about. Tackling on the spot, getting the guy, wrapping him, getting him down. No Gronkowski this week. What are they going to do? They're going to try to run the ball, keep the ball away from Tom Brady. There's the Zo Show.
The Zo Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios on Patriots This Week. And for the second time in 3 weeks, guys, the Patriots confront the Miami Dolphins. Big difference, though, at quarterback from Matt Moore 2 weeks ago in Foxborough to Jay Cutler. And the Dolphins are coming off a win, not in the midst of a five-game losing streak.
Yeah, another tough spot. It's a chirpy crew. We know what Miami is defensively. To the offensive side of it, it's a flip of the coin, too. I mean, do you want to play Matt Moore or do you want to play Jay Cutler? I think you could make Jay Cutler make mistakes, if that makes sense. You could lull him into throwing some picks, but he's got some pure, raw athletic ability to throw it off the back foot And if he gets hot, he could be a streaky guy.
Yes, they get Jay back. Jay throws two picks. He threw two picks against Patriots. They're not winning a football game. But Trevor Siemian threw three. So it ends up being sort of a blowout. It was just a terrible game. Denver has completely fallen off the map. Miami gets a nice team at a nice point. But how different are they 14 days later than the one you just blew out here? Can they be fundamentally that different? Usually in these situations, you have a longer breath between the two of you, and you game plan some new things. Some of the roster changes will have happened. Something different will have gone on. Yeah. It ain't that case here. I have no idea. I think you could just see a replaying of a very similar game.
I don't want to bring this up. They will never state that. But the fact that you play them twice in that short span, it allows you to look at Pittsburgh a little bit. They're not going to publicly state that. But you're not going to change to what Matt said. You're not going to change what you do, your scheme, your philosophy in a matter of 2 weeks. So you did a lot of preparation going into that first Miami game. You'll tweak it. You'll adjust it.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
With Gronkowski being out, you've got to fix the offense a little bit at the edge. But like I said, Dwayne Allen's coming on. I think you can peek at Pittsburgh a little bit during this week.
Oh, particularly when you're playing Monday nights, you've got a short week in preparation.
Right. And it's not like saying, you have to. That's the way you've got to prepare.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, Dwayne Allen, Pats won't have Gronk for this weekend's game against the Dolphins, Monday night, I should say. They're 20-5 without Rob Gronkowski in the lineup. And last year down the stretch, they didn't have him in route to the Super Bowl title.
This isn't good that you don't have your big tight end. He's the best tight end to ever play the game. But it also gives him a little rest here. To get him right. He's healthy.
One of the interesting questions, we'll all be kind of watching inactives in pregame. Mike Gillisley hasn't been active for several weeks, and that's because, in my view, they carry three tight ends. You can't go with the extra back. This week it'll be Hollister, presumably, and Dwayne Allen. I think it might be an opportunity to carry that extra back. It's possible. But if anything, that helps bolster your wide receiver group because then Burkhead can be a straight receiver.
They still have Stills and Landry. Parker's been a non-factor for
crazy.
The
crazy.
I can't believe that. Devontae Parker. The 6'5 guy that you can throw it up to, that jump ball ability. Obviously, Landry's the playmaker, but don't fall asleep on Parker. This is a game where he can have 8 grabs.
Yeah, and I love the matchups. We saw this just 2 weeks ago that we were talking about this, but putting Stephon Gilmore on Parker, the go-get-it guy. And we saw how last week, the go-get-it guy, Gilmore's incredible on the 50-50 ball stuff. He goes up and takes it away from people. Parker's been a non-factor. Kenny Stills, I'm glad you mentioned him. He's an under-the-radar guy that's been going out and getting near 100-yard games off and on over the last, 8 weeks. So Kenny Stills, you want to avoid the big play. I think it's, yard per catch is at, almost 20. It's crazy big play guy. We also got to see some of the behind-the-scenes camera stuff with Bill on the sideline in the Miami game here, where he talked about got to get Landry, putting two guys on him. Where's Landry? Especially as you get down in the red zone. He's a little dude, but they like to target him there. So I think taking away Landry, having a great matchup that you like on Parker, and making sure Kenny Stills doesn't get behind you, stop the run game, there's your game plan.
Lastly, on the Dolphins quickly. 2 weeks ago, we were concerned going in about chippiness. We saw it unfold in Foxborough. Bobby McCain was the player ejected for the Dolphins. There could have been even more flags thrown. How worried are you Monday night?
Pretty worried. I mean, it's going to carry over. I think it'll be times two. They're at home, so juices will be flowing a little bit more. It's their Super Bowl.
Miami's a weird place, and I have had hat and t-shirt days in that locker room. It's the best. It feels so good to go down there in South Florida and win that game.
Something about the smell. It's a cocoa butter.
Yeah.
It's palm trees.
Cocoa butter,
it's
exactly.
The
land shark.
Swizzle drink.
The ladder.
Drinking a little coconut shell.
That's a fun place to take them also and have the little party at the end. So
it's a
great place to win.
Exactly. Never an easy plays for the Pats, but they did win their last year to close out the regular campaign. Scott and Matt are back to tell us if they'll win to clinch a division title this Monday night, right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
All right, back with our predictions. Scott Zolak, who will prevail? Pats and Dolphins, who will be the game changer?
Well, I always take an offensive guy. I'm going to take a defensive guy this time. It's going to be Malcolm Butler, your game changer. He's going to not negate what Landry can do. Hold him under 5 catches in this game. I got the Patriots 31-10. Hat and t-shirts for everybody.
Hat and t-shirts for everyone. So I agree. I'm going big here. 31-10 Patriots. And I'm going Danny Amendola. I actually think that this is going to be one of those weeks where they got to watch film on a heavy back day. The focus turns back to the receivers. The depth of the Miami secondary isn't nearly as good. Tom rips them apart, sends a lot of balls Danny's way.
Great football minds think alike. You guys are going with the same
exact score.
Exact
we don't do this often.
Wow, that's don't cross the street.
Pats trying to make it 9 in a row overall this season and 9 straight division titles. For Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and Don Banks, I'm Bob Sosi. Thanks so much for joining us on Patriots This Week. So long, everybody.